Coming up on Tech News Today, Google finally faces the antitrust music in the EU. Amazon's Alexa is coming to your wrist. Tech companies voice their concerns, to put it lightly, with the encryption bill, curbing the need to replace older technology too rapidly, and a whole lot more. We'll talk to you about all these things next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1496, recorded Wednesday, April 20th, 2016.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and OTCs when you transfer your prescription.
And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to find out more.
Hello and welcome to Tech News Today. This is the show where we talk about the day's top technology stories.
All of them.
We talk about all of them. And today we're talking about them live from the National Association of Broadcasters convention in beautiful, tiring Las Vegas.
Are you feeling it? I mean, This is day three. We've been doing this for a couple of days now from the stage here. Yeah, I think I'm kind of feeling it too.
Yeah, but I should say that I still know that I am Megan Maroney.
Oh, and I'm Jason Howell. But maybe you already knew that. Maybe you knew who we were. But then again, maybe you didn't. Hey, we've got some news to talk about. Let's start. This one, I feel like we've been seeing this coming for a while now, and now it's finally happened. Google's about to face the music in much the same way as Microsoft in its own antitrust case years ago. The EU is pursuing Google with antitrust charges that stem from Android's, quote, abuse of dominance. The EU points to Google's prioritization of its services on the majority of Android devices sold in Europe. EU Commissioner Margrethe Vestager said, quote, tablet and smartphone manufacturers are not free to choose which search engines and which browsers to install on their devices. This hampers competing browser and search providers. This whole investigation opened last April, so it's been a while coming. We kind of knew that at some point it was going to kind of, you know, cap off in this sort of way. It specifically calls out the pre-installed state of apps, things like Google Search, where if you are running an official version of kind of Google's approved version of Android, let's say, then there's a whole suite of Google's apps that are required to be installed on the device. Google sets this out and basically says, if you want to run an Android that has our services, then you have to run all of those services. And also, by the way, thanks to the Open Handset Alliance, which Google is a member of, they're not allowed, those OEMs are not allowed to create any other devices that don't contain those. So basically, once they agree to create devices that have all those services baked in, they're not allowed to create a forked version of Android for another device. They're locked in, and if they do that, they can lose their Open Handset Alliance kind of membership, let's say, and would not be allowed to run Google's apps on Android devices.
So the issue is that people can't choose to install something else, or the issue is that it's pre-installed, so it's kind of like how Internet Explorer was pre-installed on Windows all those years, and that was an issue, even though you could install something else.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit like that, right? Like, if you're getting a version of Android that has all of these apps and services built into it, that wouldn't stop me from going on and installing Firefox, let's say, to kind of continue down the browser path. Chrome's already installed. I could still install Firefox, but the fact that Chrome is there, and actually in some ways these Google apps are kind of embedded into the OS on a certain layer. So there's even, you know, kind of deeper integration when you go with kind of the official implementation. And I think those things are concerning to the EU, to the point to where it's like, well, how is anybody going to compete? You've already provided all these services. They're baked in, and you've basically said you have to have them there or else face these consequences. The other side to that, of course, is that there is an open version of Android to use. So anyone can choose to turn Android into anything that they want, if what they want is a version of Android that has all of the services that Google is providing, which a lot of people, consumers, find very valuable,
right.
Then that locks them into a certain path. And that's what they really have a big issue with.
And this is on mobile. This is a big deal. I mean, we hear a lot of threats from the EU. We hear a lot of talk about antitrust. But this is a big deal because mobile is a huge market.
Well, I mean, yeah, this is a gigantic portion of how Google makes money, period. I mean, this if this happens, it has the power to force Google to change how it handles Android in the EU. And the EU is such a gigantic market to begin with that it has serious potential in affecting Google's kind of bottom line, its business, how it makes money, super influential. Now, in kind of a lesson of tit for tat, back in 2009, Google supported the EU in opening up Internet Explorer. So it kind of, you know, what goes around comes around. They supported it then. This is a kind of a similar situation, and they find themselves on the other side of it.
Interesting tidbit, which is tangentially related to this. I heard research recently that the people, one marker for success in a job is what browser you use. And the people who are most successful at jobs, they did the study, are people who use Chrome and people who use Firefox. It's interesting. I know it's not because they're better browsers. It's because you have to go and install them. Like they're not what comes pre-installed. We're not talking about Android.
Not
a Chromebook, mm-hmm. but on, you know, Windows or a Mac machine.
Right.
So people who use Safari, people who use Internet Explorer, people who use what's there and don't go, hey, maybe there's something better. I'm going to try it. That's a marker for success and who you should hire, which makes sense, right? Because it's like, I'm not satisfied with what I have here. I'm going to go and find something that makes my job more efficient.
Sure. That probably applies to certain careers or, you know, certain jobs more than others. You know, it's certainly a marker that someone is maybe a little bit more technically proficient than others. And sure, that can be seen as a skill.
I think at a time it was, but it's really not that hard to install Chrome on any.
No, but knowing that you can, knowing why you would or why you should or whatever, however you want to frame it, that's, you know, that's a determination that someone should be able to make, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this, only because I understand what this. I understand what Google is doing here. You know, often they are criticized for Android. You know, being, we hear it less and less these days, but Android being kind of a fragmented platform. And a lot of what Google has done over the years with kind of integrating the software and, you know, being participating with the Open Handset Alliance, it's all about kind of removing a little bit of that complexity so that everything can kind of work on a level platform. And, you know, even though you've got hundreds of thousands of devices, if they're all in this way, then you've got, you know, predictability, you've got a lot of kind of similarities from device to device. And I think that's good for the Android platform. But, you know, I mean, the EU sees antitrust. And
yeah.
So this is going to be a while. We're going to be hearing about this for a while.
Yeah. Well, antitrust issues are not always best. You know, when Microsoft, obviously, like opening up Internet Explorer was a big deal. But after that, they wanted to put antivirus software directly into their web browser because they thought that would make everyone safer. You have it. You don't have to go out and get it. And they couldn't do that. They were like strapped because they thought, oh, well, we're going to get into another antitrust case because, you know, Windows Defender is going to come with the operating system and then we're going to get in trouble. So they were, you know, that a lot of systems were insecure because of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. But
And where did Internet Explorer end up? I mean, it still exists, but it's definitely not the dominant search engine. So, and I don't, you know, I'm sure that plays a part, at least a piece of it. I don't know how significant in comparison with, you know, other things like, is it any good?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, a new crowdfunding campaign caught my eye today. It's called the Co-Watch. It's a smartwatch that has Amazon Echo, I guess it's called, they don't call it, it's Alexa Voice Service.
Right.
So sorry for saying the word to wake up your device, but I had to. It's, you know, this is a crowdsource project. And with all crowdsource projects, Kickstarter, Indiegogo, whatever you're dealing with, you have to enter with a little grain of salt. But Lauren Good at The Verge, she looked at the hardware She said it looks like something that can actually work and that will exist in the world. I think this is great because my Amazon Echo is always more responsive than Siri for me. It's more of an open platform. The only thing I can't do on the Echo is, you know, play Apple Music. I can do it, but it's not as easy. Whereas, you know, with my Siri devices, they're really limited to Apple products. So I am really excited about this. I did not back the Kickstarter or the Indiegogo campaign. It was $179, which was the only thing left, because I just feel like, well, if it's great, I'll get it when it's actually here, as opposed to slapping down my $180 for something that might not exist.
I'm watching this video. This thing is a beast. Like, it's big. It's super thick. I mean, yeah.
I like big watches. So
yeah, that thing's gigantic.
Maybe her wrist is very small.
Yeah, you never really know. You don't know until you actually get it in your hand. Alexa Voice Service actually happened, I think, mid last year. Like when I first saw this, I forgot about Alexa Voice Service, and I was like, wait a minute. Is Amazon going to be happy about this? But it's a totally open, it's in developer preview.
Because you can order Amazon products with it.
So. Yeah, right. Exactly. Amazon has a lot to gain from it. It's specifically so that hardware makers and software makers can do this, can build Alexa functionality into whatever they have. What's running underneath here is an Android-based it's based on Android. It's called Chronologix OS. It's actually created by former Googlers, former Android engineers, and all the functions happen on the watch or in the cloud. So it's not as reliant on a smartphone, let's say. But yeah, pretty cool stuff. I would love to check it out and see anything that I've seen around Alexa, you know, and you using the Echo, and everybody just seems so charged up about the Echo because of Alexa. It seems like a perfect fit for this sort of thing. I'm wondering when we're going to see it in a phone, as the underlying kind of personal assistant aspect of a phone.
Right.
Probably someday soon.
But part of what the Amazon Echo is great at is things that I do in my house, turning off and on the lights, turning off and on the music, getting the weather alarms. You know, it's not a lot of give me directions someplace, those things that that you would use a mobile device where it's really designed not to be mobile. So it will be interesting if it...
Yeah, I mean, maybe your use case on it changes based on the form factor that it is. You know, when it's an installed on your countertop in your kitchen kind of appliance, you're going to use that differently than you are this thing that happens to be on your wrist when you're driving around town or something. You know, you'll have different needs for it.
Yeah, I still not decided, but I might just buy one of the Amazon taps that we talked about, the big one, and just strap it to my arm and see how I like that. I mean, it's... probably go from upper elbow to my wrist, and but it would also build up my muscles if I was walking around.
When that doesn't work out, I'll buy it for me for really cheap.
Okay, all right, okay. Sounds excellent. Great.
All right, it's been a solid run, Xbox 360. After 10 years of production, Microsoft is dropping its manufacturing of the console. Microsoft will actually still be selling the remaining inventory at its current price, starting at $199.99. The Xbox 360 was launched back in November 22nd of 2005. In my new pursuit of saying this differently, by the way, is it 2005? Is that how I'm supposed to say it?
No, 2005.
Okay. This whole thing is just so backwards. All right. Oh, I see. That's the cutoff.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Xbox One actually has backward compatibility for Xbox 360 games, so you can still kind of live in the glory days of the past 10 years, but undeniably, the Xbox 360 has been an insanely successful console for Microsoft. So this is just kind of one of those sort of end of an era sort of things, even though they're still selling it and everything. But and by the way, support kind of continues. You know, some of the kind of network support that is in here, Microsoft doesn't have any plans right now to get rid of that necessarily. So we'll see when that happens.
Right. So all the ones that are left in stores, you can go buy them until they're gone.
Yep.
And games, you can buy them. And then... yeah, I have some facts, some Xbox
factoids
in this, the end of Xbox 360 era.
Uh-huh.
The head of Phil Spencer told Forbes that the Xbox had 85 million loyal customers. I don't know how he got the word loyal, but I guess, you know, they got it and played
repeat
it.
Repeat users, I suppose.
78 billion gaming hours.
Wow.
78 billion gaming hours. 25 billion hours in apps on the Xbox 360, 486 billion gamer score across 27 billion achievements.
It's a whole lot of billions.
That is a lot. A lot of people love
this device,
but
it's
10 years old, so time to put it to pasture.
Yeah, I would be curious to see how the Xbox One fares in longevity compared to the Xbox 360. If you know, if it lasts longer, I feel like they're always kind of striving to stretch these things out as far as they can. But 10 years is a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, moving on, groups representing Apple, Google, Microsoft, Facebook, Netflix, Twitter, and others have published an open letter to Burr and Feinstein to criticize their encryption bill, calling it, quote, well-intentioned but ultimately unworkable. So this is the same bill that we've been talking about for the last few weeks since we first heard about it. It doesn't seem as if it was written by someone who really understood the issue. And now the bigwigs are coming out. The requirements in the bill would lead to, quote, unintended negative consequences for the safety of our networks and our customers. So the groups that wrote this open letter that support these, it's the Reform Government Surveillance, Computer and Communications Industry Association, Internet Infrastructure Coalition, and the Entertainment Software Association.
And all the big tech companies that you mentioned.
Yeah, they're all, right at the they start. All are they're supported all... by under those little yeah. umbrellas or big I mean, umbrellas.
I mean, of course, you knew they were going to register some sort of formal opinion on this. It's at the core of all of their businesses, you know. Would anyone choose to make their service insecure, you know? Yeah. No, of course they're going to push back on this. And thankfully they're not alone, you know. Senator Ron Wyden has plans to filibuster it. The White House has declined, you know, we've talked about all this, but the White House has declined public support, at least for now, for the draft. Apparently, they're very divided on the issue, so it's not like this widespread acceptance in the White House. And, yeah, I don't know. It kind of seems like this is probably going to end up being a back-to-the-drawing-board sort of thing. But it's still kind of scary that, that it's still not that yet. And so, I guess, you know... I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't believe this bill will become a law. Yeah. That is my belief. I'm not going to go through the Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah.
How a bill becomes a law. Right. It won't do that.
It won't become a law.
Exactly.
But then what
that.
Will what? that's my
well, another one.
Sorry.
Like it just won't be. You know, it won't be approved. Yeah. And
then what? But then it's going to become
else.
Something
you
else.
Don't know.
And then we're going to push back on
I
that
mean,
too.
I mean, because there has to be something, but not this.
Yeah.
Not this. Not today.
Fair enough. Thank you. I'm just a bill. I'm sitting on the steps. I don't remember the song, actually.
That encryption bill.
I'm an encryption bill. Okay, I'm going to stop singing now. One of the key features of Snapchat is its collections of filters. I know I've had a lot of fun with the filters. It's about all I use the Snapchat for, actually. They analyze your face. They edit features or add various accoutrements to do things like make you throw up rainbows or put a little jaunty hat on your head. Today is, as you may or may not know, April 20th. And here in the U.S., many celebrate 420 Day as kind of a day for celebrating pot smoking, let's say. And Snapchat apparently wanted to... I don't know. Throw an homage to the day?
I don't know what they wanted to do.
So they decided to celebrate with a new Bob Marley filter. And it's apparently ruffling some feathers. It drops some dreadlocks on your head. But more kind of the thing that people have issue with is that it gives your skin a deeper shade of brown, let's say. Many are calling out Snapchat for insensitivity. They're saying it's basically blackface in the digital realm.
It is.
And
no, basically about it. That's what it is.
I'm just trying to set a level.
Why? Blackface is historically offensive. It is.
Well, it is. But okay, so let's talk about this a little bit. You and I were kind of talking about this other app, Masquerade. And Masquerade was just bought by Facebook. And in Masquerade, it's similar to what we get with the filters, but essentially what it is more so is, like, there was a Barack Obama face inside Masquerade. And we're trying to figure out, like, what is the difference here? And in Masquerade, they're not doing any sort of alteration to, let's say, your skin color. Mm-hmm. What they're actually doing is they're taking a picture of Barack Obama or Hulk Hogan or whoever else they have in there, and they're clipping that out and then superimposing and attaching those features to your face so that when you move and when you tilt and everything, it kind of follows. So is there a difference at its core of having an app where you're having a mask of, let's say, Barack Obama on your face versus this where it's actually tinting the color of your skin?
Yes. I know. I don't remember the MSQRD. I know they have, they do have a, not a mask, but the same dreadlocks, the same hat, and your face.
Right,
not
but, no,
colored
but
in
no tint.
Yeah, not colored in. I don't remember the barrage. I don't remember, and I looked for it, and I couldn't find it again. And, I mean, we read that Snapchat hadn't taken this down, but I couldn't find it in my filters. I did find this other thing. It was called a time-traveling bong geo-filter, which, when I get home from Vegas, will be a nice teachable moment with my children who use Snapchat.
Because they use Snapchat.
Right, and I'm not saying, like, oh, it shouldn't have that because the kids. Watch out for the kids. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, yeah, I'm going to have to discuss, did you see this? And do you want to talk about what that means? And which is my responsibility as a parent who lets her child be on Snapchat. I don't know. That the bong part is just a conversation I need to have with my kids. The blackface thing is like they should have known better.
Yeah.
And now they do.
Well, and what's it? Well, I don't know. You know, they basically said that they have the cooperation of the Bob Marley estate, and that they're sorry that it's being perceived this way. But you know, last I heard is that they're not actually removing it. Is the fact that there's like actual cooperation from the Bob Marley estate, does that, I mean, maybe that was like a clue to them that like, hey, maybe this isn't such a bad idea after all. I don't know. That's all I can think is maybe that's where they were coming from, but
I don't know.
It also feels just kind of lazy. Like
yeah.
Bob Marley has a pretty awesome, rich musical history for him to just kind of become like another pot joke.
Weird thing that is
just kind of like, I don't know. Anyways, it's offending a lot of people. Might even offend you. So,
what we've said might have offended you. That's what sometimes happens when you talk.
When I talk.
People, not you.
When I talk.
Anyone.
It's true.
Me, you. Usually me. Usually not you. Let's be honest. After the break, we're going to talk about Gmail, PlayStation. We might offend you again. But first, let's take a minute to thank PillPack. They are a sponsor of this episode. If you're in charge of the medicine for yourself or for your family, whether you are a caregiver for your children or for your adult parents, it can get really overwhelming and confusing. One thing you might want to take a look at for help is PillPack. It's a full-service online pharmacy that will make you wonder why you ever settled for the traditional pharmacy. PillPack delivers your medications and vitamins in pre-sorted, easy-to-tear packets. They have labels that contain the date and time for each dose, so you can get rid of that antiquated Monday-to-Sunday pill box. They use advanced technology to create personalized packets for each customer. They're always checked by a pharmacist prior to being shipped. PillPacks go through a image recognition system that are built to ensure the right pills are in the right pack. Their system can detect dispensing accuracy by size, shape, color, the density of each pill, and it will catalog an image of every single packet dispensed. You can even order inhalers, creams, and diabetes supplies, and they come in refrigerated, easy-to-open packaging. They will proactively contact your doctor so that they will manage your refills, and you will never run out. It's compatible with most insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. Shipping is always free. Now, if you refer someone to PillPack and they sign up, PillPack is going to donate $100 to RxArt. That's a nonprofit organization whose mission is to help children heal through the extraordinary power of visual art. Here's what you can do. Visit pillpack.com/twit to sign up now. Their site is beautiful. It only takes 5 minutes to sign up. When you use our link and transfer your prescriptions to PillPack, you'll get a credit for $20 worth of vitamins and OTCs. That's pillpack.com/TWIT. So, I am a huge Inbox for Gmail fan. There's a new update today. I did not get it on my iPhone, but you apparently got it on your Android phone.
Yeah.
It's going to help you keep track of events better, keep track of your newsletters, and be able to read articles later. So, the event tracking seems a little bit like Facebook events, where, you know, an event, people can RSVP and all the information is contained in one place and it doesn't just clog up your email. Because that's the worst when someone's like, let's all do this. And there's 50 emails from
you. Yeah, and then
I can go here.
Like the day of, and you're searching through the entire like nested email chain to try and find the exact information you need or whatever.
Or Evite, which is just like it. Like I said before.
I still use Evite. Why do I still use Evite? Evite is like 90s,
yeah,
right?
I know. And it's like so many times it just gets buried in there and I never get it. I'm like, well, you had a party without me? Well, I invited you. Like, okay, well, don't ever use Evite with me because I'm not
I'll try and remember that. But yeah,
I still newsletters, you saw that. I've unsubscribed to all my newsletters because I'm an email ninja. And it just, I don't ever want any newsletters. So I don't have that anymore. But reading later also seems great, because so many times I'm in Chrome and I find an article and then I have to go somewhere and I'm going to be on my phone. So I just installed a Chrome extension that will let me email a story directly to my phone or email it to, or just, you know, send it through the magic of the Chrome extension to inbox or send it to you. I did that. I sent it to you. It was quite easy.
Yes. So I got the update and it's neat. The kind of newsletter aspect really took me by surprise because I hadn't read any of this. And this morning I opened up my email and I had this little Product Hunt thing in there. And then when I expanded it, I mean, it looks way different, you know, and it's kind of based on an email update that I do get from Product Hunt. But this is just like way stylized and kind of, you know, fit for mobile, maybe a little bit better. So it was neat. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it's just going to do that to certain things, you know, or beyond. I was very surprised to see it. But the read it later thing, like I use Pocket for that right now. And so that's kind of nice. I think what I'm starting to see, though, with Inbox is that it's starting to get to this point where there with feature creep, the inbox is getting more complicated. So like the read it later, the saved bundle, for example, in this case, that's added into your inbox. It's another entry on your inbox. And I can understand it being there in this case because often you mark something to save it to read later and then you forget about it. And then, you know, you never actually read it and you dismiss it and you're on. At least now it kind of puts it in your view and you can treat it like anything and like any email that you want to respond to later, you know, push it, save it for later from beyond there or deal with it now and dismiss it and whatever, treat it, you know, yeah. In your inbox zero strategy or whatever. But I just feel like inbox runs the risk of just getting more and more complicated over time. Thankfully, you can deactivate these things. So if they're not useful to you, you can go in and say, I don't want to see this bundle, and it'll remove it. So at least you have that.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, the was the thing we talked about last week, the goals, where you can set a goal,
right.
You know, to remind you when to do yoga or meditate or whatever, and it would pop up there. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I think we have a similar email strategy, you and I, Jason, that we have all our work email. It works really well. Inbox for Gmail works really well for work because it really is, for me, it's like I got to reschedule that stuff. I got
to,
you know,
things that need to happen.
Right. Like, under control, and I have inbox zero. With my personal email, it's out of control. So then what you're talking about is, like, you have these big pictures, like, here's a video that someone sent in, and it makes it huge, or here's my newsletter or my flights. And then for that, it's not as great. If you don't have a handle on your email, inbox for Gmail is not so great, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I choose to use inbox for personal and for work. I enjoy it much more for work than I do for personal, even though I enjoyed it for personal until I suddenly got it for work and realized, wow, it actually works really well for these things. And over here, it's just kind of still a little complicated and confusing. But who knows? Maybe I'll get to inbox zero in my personal email. That'll be a glorious day if that ever happens. So we've talked a little bit about the supposed PlayStation 4.5 that has been rumored for a few months now anyways. Sources at Giant Bomb, or to Giant Bomb rather, are confirming the project and shared some details on the updated console. Its internal name is the Neo, which just reminds me of the Neo Geo for whatever reason.
Doesn't remind you of Neo Matrix?
Kind of, but I don't know. More so the Neo Geo because it's game console related. But don't get me wrong, I like the Matrix. Not knocking Neo in the Matrix.
Okay.
Featured an improved clock speed over the original console, a better GPU, faster memory would be included as well. And games would basically have to be built to be compatible with the original PS4 or to kind of scale up to the Neo when it's supported. That support kind of improves the frame rate stability and improves the visual experience, of course, specifically on 1080p screens and support for 4K output if they work it in there. So a pretty reasonable upgrade, I think. I'd be curious to hear what Sam Moscovich would say on this. Maybe we'll talk to him about it a little bit on Friday and see if it's sizable. There was no mention, by the way, in any of these docs on VR. So the PlayStation VR, not a piece of this. Although I have to imagine it would stand to see some improvements as a result as well.
Yeah. Well, last week we reported a story about the UC Davis chancellor who tried to scrub the internet of references to the unfortunate pepper spraying incident. they had hired, used taxpayer funds to hire a firm that promised that they would just remove all those incidents, because, you know, that's what you can do when you have a bad reputation on the internet. Just pay someone a bunch of money to get rid of it. If only that were that easy. So Linda Katehi, she apologized. That's the story here. She said she was sorry. Thank you. She wrote a letter, a public letter. She said, yes, our Office of Strategic Communications hired outside firms specializing in what was known as search engine optimization. So I think it was a little more than that, but I mean, it's not the SEO we used to know. And I don't think that they were just trying to do that. I think they were really trying to get rid of the memes, which you cannot do. Consultants were brought in after, she says this, after the 2011 incident. And she also said, so we did what any organization in a similar situation would do. But no, a lot of organizations, I don't think that's what they do when they're confronted with that. I mean, maybe they do, and I'm just ignorant about this.
Yeah, you know, maybe they do. Maybe this was less about getting rid of it entirely and more just about burying it below the fold, you know, into the second page of search results. And I would imagine that organizations probably do pay for that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, she said they have a $1 million allocation for strategic communications and says this is small for a university of their size. And I have no idea if that's true. If anyone works for a university or knows anything about this field of strategic communications in the university, public university, let me know. Send me an email at megan@twit.tv or tweet at me at Megan Maroney. Is that normal for $1 million to be allocated to strategic communications? I don't know.
It's a really good question. Man, that video is hard for me to watch. All right. Well, at least you know, they're coming clean about it a little bit, but it's still...
Yeah, they said sorry.
The damage is already done, I think. Coming up, one man's aim to take old technology and nurse it back to health again for the good of Mother Earth. But before we do that, let's take a minute to thank the sponsor of this episode, and that is Epson. Epson's revolutionary EcoTank line of printers for home, for office, introduce a new age in printing. The new EcoTank ET4550 wireless all-in-one printer doesn't use ink cartridges. Instead, it features an innovative, refillable ink tank. Comes with enough ink to print up to 11,000 black pages or 8,500 color pages. That is equivalent to about 50 ink cartridge sets. If you can envision 50 ink cartridge sets taking up space in your closet, no more. They're just in these tanks now. You're loaded. You're ready to print for up to 2 years. It's powered by Epson's leading-edge precision core technology. It delivers high-speed, vivid colors, laser-quality black text, plus auto two-sided printing, a 30-page auto document feeder, easy wireless printing from tablets and smartphones. It's no wonder the ET4550 printer was named a CES 2016 Innovation Awards honoree. All EcoTank printers deliver an unbeatable combination of convenience, of value, with ultra-low-cost replacement ink bottles. Now you have the freedom to print without running out of ink. You don't need to have any space in your closet to hold on to all those ink cartridges anymore either. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank today to transform the way your home, office, or workgroup prints. For the best combination of ease and value, turn to the new Epson EcoTank printers. That's Epson.com/EcoTank. And we thank Epson for their support of Tech News Today. Epson, exceed your vision.
Now it's time for TNT's Fan of the Day. Who is it, Jason?
Who is it? Well, we have a winner. It's Jody Farrandon at Wiggle GRN, winner of nothing but but showing your picture on the show.
We were using the voice of you're going to win something.
I know. It really did feel that way.
Just fame and fortune. I mean, just fame. No fortune.
Yes, exactly. Total fame. Jody, he wins this image on the live stream. He says that he listens on his commute throughout London. I feel like we keep hearing from people in London. So apparently tech news is big in London. So there you go, at WiggleGRN on Twitter. And thanks for sending that in, Jody. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video, take a picture of yourself or your setup, post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, Peach, if that still exists anymore. Use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT and we will find it.
Yeah, if you don't want to be on the show, definitely post it on Peach, because we never go there and we will never find it.
I don't know. I might get desperate someday and be like, we really need one. Here, I'll just install Peach and see if it's in there. I might be surprised.
All right. Well, finally, the New York Times has a great story today about a man named Vincent Lai, who finds old technology that has been abandoned, maybe at a recycling plant, not even that old. But he takes it and he nurses it back to good health. He kind of compares himself to someone who would find a stray dog and take it home and rescue it and give it a happy life. So he did that with a Palm Trio. 11-year-old Palm Trio that worked perfectly.
11-year-old Palm Trio.
Yeah. Wow. Now, do you remember the Palm Trio?
I mean, I remember it, but it's amazing.
I did not have a trio.
You could bring that to life, and it still works.
Look, it works perfectly. I had a Palm Pre that I loved. Like, I can still remember the feeling of waiting to get the Palm Pre.
Yeah, that was pretty anticipated at the time.
I know. It was ridiculous.
It really
was. Really ridiculous or really
anticipated? No, it was really anticipated. WebOS was a really cool thing.
Yeah, it was.
It actually, I really, really always really liked that UI.
Yeah.
But it's kind of found its way into other UI at
this
point. Right.
Okay, I'm glad. I felt a little shame about
it. It wasn't just you.
It wasn't just me. Okay, yeah. Good to know. You know, there were some good tips, just things to think about when you know, we get in this, like, I need to upgrade, I have to get the next device. I mean, they're just, you know, comes down to two things mostly, like battery life and storage.
Yeah.
And you can replace your battery. I mean, if you have an iPhone, you can replace it for free if it's on warranty. $79 is all you have to pay to get a new battery. I mean, batteries only have a certain amount of cycles. The article in the New York Times, you can check it out. It has tips on how to figure out how many cycles you have left in your iPhone. And storage, of course, lots of ways to you know,
depending
to reduce
on
what's on your device without just getting a new one.
Sure. And some devices, you know, might have expandable storage, so you could do that. I think battery is a really big one in this, because that the longer a device, you know, longer you use a device, you know, as it gets a little bit older, it really seems like the battery is what really is obviously deteriorating over time. And there's just nothing worse than that. You know, you charge it up, it works for 4 hours, and then it's like at a quarter of capacity. So yeah, maybe swapping out the battery is enough to make that definitely usable again. We're so locked into this world, you know, specifically because of what we do, but I'm sure a large part of the people that follow Twit in general are passionate enough about technology that we get locked into this mindset that, there's something new right around the corner. I've got to get rid of this thing that I'm using that's perfectly useful and pick that up now because it exists.
Yeah, but then there's also a large part of our audience and a large part of us that's like, we know how to fix it. Like, we could do it. We know, and like, that's also part of who we are. Like, let's take this Palm Trio. Let's find a Palm Pre, bring it back to life, and use it instead of our
phone. Take this Palm Trio and find a nice comfortable pillow and, you know, feed it a bottle and nurse it back
to
health.
And yeah. So there was a very nice man, I can't remember his name, but he had a Galaxy S3 and he was sitting on our little Tuffets at NAB, and he, you know, and I said, well, you have the 7, like, you know, and I was like trying to convince him how great it was. And then I was like, well, wait a minute. Do you need it to upgrade? He's like, no. And I was like, well, then why am I trying to convince
you? It works.
The camera is great. Like, he's here. He's a videographer. So that was the one thing. Like, he was like, well, I want a better video camera. But yeah, I don't know. If you have old devices, I want to hear about your old devices. Email it me at Megan@twit.tv. Stuff you brought back to life.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I want to see pictures of your old tech that you use. Maybe not for the purpose that you used for originally, maybe for something else. I want to hear about
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there you go. And by the way, Earth Day this Friday. So this is perfect timing.
Happy Earth Day.
So, you know, maybe it's a commitment to Earth Day. Yeah. But yeah, that is it.
That is it.
You did it.
Thank you. That is it from NAB. We're flying out now. We might miss our flight. I don't think we will.
We're on the airplane right now. We just made it look really, really fancy behind us.
So we have some people to thank. New Tech for providing the TriCaster that we're using today. LiveView, of course, for the access to this awesome booth. I'm going to miss our home that has been our home for the last 3 days. Mm-hmm. We streamed, obviously, back to Petaluma and to you if you're watching live. As well as to here, to the people sitting here, Bruce and other friends. thank you. And thanks to Panasonic. They also provided.
Because they're tilting. The camera that you see right now, this is all tilty because of Panasonic cameras.
Those would be great, because it would be great to be able to show our screen more often, because then it's more exciting. You never know what's going to happen if we do that.
That's cool.
Tomorrow's guest?
It's cool stuff.
I'm so excited.
Tomorrow's guest will be Nicole Lee from Engadget. Nicole's a friend, and I'm happy to get her back on. So it's been a while, and we will have her. Of course, we won't be here at NAB for that.
No.
We'll be back back at home in our normal studio. We're heading back there tonight. We'll do the show from there. We've just had a fantastic NAB show. So thanks for following everything that we're doing here and for joining us at Tech News Today at the TWIT set here at NAB. TNT records live every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 12 a.m. UTC at twit.tv/live. You can email us. It's tnt@twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 260-TNT-SHOW. And you can find the show on Twitter. It's at Tech News Today TV.
And if you want to subscribe, and I know you do, go to twit.tv.
Oh, you do.
Subscribe there. You can listen on any of your old devices. Maybe you're not your old device. That would be another thing. Tell me if you're listening to our show on an old device. Tell me everything. Obviously, I'm feeling lonely. I need a lot of emails.
Subscribe to our show on like 10 devices. Seriously, do it.
Yeah, do it. Go find Old Tech. Subscribe to our show. Not for us.
Versions. All different versions.
For you.
Do it.
And I'm on Twitter at Megan Maroney.
And I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter as well. Thanks to everyone here. Carson, Jeremy, Russell, Brian, Colleen, she's not here. Padre's just kind of ducking around kind of strangely.
Well, he was sitting in the corner and I was coughing over there, and then I realized that I was coughing at him, basically.
You can't see him, Brian.
He moved out of your view. He moved out of my
He's out of your view. Uh-oh. Oh, wide shot, Brian. Wide shot. Do the wide shot. Take the wide shot, because I think, yeah, okay, there he is. There he is. Okay, I'm a little creeped out now. And thanks to everybody here for helping us do these shows from the set every single day. And see you, Padre. All right, we're going to end this. We'll see you all tomorrow from our normal set in Petaluma. Take care, you guys.